The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as we get set once again to talk about the latest in college football. And all I can say is it has been another very interesting week here in the second week of January. A number of storylines to break down, and who better than our guy, our main man, Jason Peter, with our Under the Helmet segment. You know, in college football, you think it's over. It's really not over. It's just starting to gear up all over again. We got National Signing Day going to be coming up in the month of February. But JP, what a hot topic. I know you just have some serious love and affinity for old Lane Kiffin, who is now the new coach at USC. What were your thoughts about this as this all transpired ever so quickly?
Yeah, I could not believe that he was named the head coach at USC. After all of the drama that we went through watching him take over that Tennessee job, you would have thought that he would be their coach for the next 15, 20 years, but sure enough, after a year, he's gone already. And the kids, I think they're the ones that feel the effect of this the most. The thing that angers me, and you see coaches doing this now all the time, but it was just a year ago that Lane Kiffin was sitting in 17 and 18-year-old kids, their living room, sitting in front of their parents, saying, send your kid out to me. Send him to school at Tennessee, and I'll look after him. I'll make sure that he develops into a fine young man that you could be proud of. And he gets these kids to sign their name on the dotted line, and a year later, he's gone. And now these kids, they can't change schools the way that some of these coaches do. If any of these student-athletes or these football players want to change schools, then they have to pay a penalty. They have to sit out a year, but not for Lane. I guess the only penalty that he has is a $800,000 buyout, and I think he gets 4 or 5 years to pay that off. So I imagine Will Ferrell or one of those alumni from USC is sitting there with their checkbook open saying, no problem, Lane, I'll cover this one.
Jason, I'm just sitting here scratching my head because I know a lot of folks have weighed in on this. A lot of people have very strong opinions like yourself on his decision. And a lot of the coverage, I have to say, for the most part, has been pretty negative. He is coming back home, but how does he continue to get these jobs? I mean, he was 7-6 with the Vols, 5-15 with the Raiders. Is he really that good?
No, I mean, that's the thing I think that keeps everybody scratching their head is why is this guy such a coach that's in demand? What has he done that I think justifies being paid millions of dollars or jumping from one school to the next? I mean, he was the co-offensive coordinator out at USC under Pete Carroll, but I think a lot of the decisions that were being made on the offensive side of the ball, there's a gentleman who's coaching the University of Washington, Steve Sarkisian, who I think was probably the 1A out of that offense coordinator unit, with Lane probably being the 1B. So he was the guy, I think, in my eyes, that was really making all the calls. And I think when you look at the Oakland Raiders job that he had gotten, I think their first choice was Sarkisian. And when they couldn't get Sarkisian, I think Al Davis still wanted another young coach that maybe he could mold kind of in the form of John Gruden and the way that he did that. But, I mean, everybody's kind of scratching their head saying, why is there such this big to-do about Lane Kiffin? Because there's just not enough evidence, at least for me, to justify all of this craziness surrounding Lane Kiffin.
like I said, just kind of scratching my head going, how does this guy continue to land these jobs? He doesn't seem like, or what makes him such an appealing, what makes him such a sexy pick? But will he ultimately, is he going to keep USC a BCS contender?
I think it's always tough to follow the guy. And that's the situation that Lane's in, is he's following the guy and Pete Carroll. And it's never easy. You look around at any school where there was a coach that had tremendous success, and the guy that follows him, he usually comes into a situation where he doesn't want to just be this puppet, and he doesn't want to be the guy where maybe he gets no credit if there are wins or there are championships that come after. So what do? They change one or two things, and those one or two little things that they change, usually those are a lot of times the reasons why those schools were so successful. So for Lane to come in, he'll probably change a thing or two, I'm sure, at USC. And will they have the same type of success that they had under Pete Carroll? I would guess probably not.
Well, and perhaps you wonder if he'll be a little bit limited on what he will be able to do with these NCAA violations hanging over the Trojans. And then my other question we got to talk about is perhaps what kind of a staff will he be able to assemble?
Yeah, well, I know he's bringing his father from Tennessee, Monty Kiffin, who's a tremendous defensive coordinator. He's also bringing Ed Orgeron, who's probably the best recruiter in college football, and he's a heck of a defensive line coach. So I know he's bringing a few of the guys from Tennessee, but he's going to have to complete a staff, and I'm sure that he's probably got the okay from Mike Garrett, the athletic director out of USC, to pay some top dollar for assistance. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that USC is a program that's still kind of in that elite status. But like you said, to start off, a lot of allegations kind of hovering over the school's head, and who knows what's going to happen. I think from what everybody has seen and heard with Reggie Bush and even with the basketball, O.J. Mayo, there's some shady stuff going on out there. Now, is the NCAA going to do anything about it? You would think that something would have been done already about it, but everybody's still kind of sitting here waiting for the NCAA to make a move.
Well, Lane Kiffin does not appear to be concerned about the NCAA investigation. And, of course, I guess they're going to go before the Committee on the Infractions next month. But tell me about this. What are your thoughts about the opening now with Tennessee? Who do you think will fill that position? I know that there had been some buzz and talk about Will Muschamp, even Gary Patterson, and both those guys were like, no way. We haven't been contacted. It's not happening.
Yeah, and Muschamp is obviously the coaching waiting at Texas, and I think that he wants that job. I think it's gonna have to take some special deal for him to be relieved of kind of that stature right there with taking over for Mac Brown. But obviously crazier things have happened. I don't know who they go for. Mike Leach is obviously a guy who's out there and is looking for a job. I don't know how well he fits. I believe that Leach was one of the guys that they looked at when they hired Lane Kiffin, and I think they kind of decided not to go with Leach, so I don't know if they would go back to him at this point, but you got Leach, you got Mangino, and there's always the names that circulate, John Gruden, maybe he'll be a guy who wants to get back in at the college level. He did some coaching at Tennessee at one point in his career. But I think he's probably holding out for an NFL job. So I really don't know where they go in terms of this next head coach. I know they promoted Kippy Brown, I think, as the interim head coach. And it may be something where they let him coach for a year or two and see how he does. And maybe there's a bigger name that's available in the next year or two. But right now, I have no idea where they go. They've kind of kept this whole search and their next move pretty quiet.
Well, I've got four siblings that graduated from the University of Tennessee, so I don't know. We're kind of on board for John Gruden. We'd like that, but I like him in the booth. I think he's pretty good in the booth.
I think he's done a tremendous job in the booth, but I do think that John Gruden would make a heck of a college football coach. I mean, there's always that talk, that conversation about whether pro guys can coach at the college game and vice versa, college guys going to the to the NFL, and you've seen, I think, some cases that say some coaches can do it, and then there's cases that say some don't. But I think when you think about the college football coach, you think about a guy that can motivate young men. And I think when you think of a coach that can motivate, I think John Gruden is somebody that people automatically think of.
Okay, you had mentioned the name Mike Leach, and I just have to ask you, as far as, you know, after the firing at Texas Tech, how much has that hurt his stock in terms of, you know, the future for him within coaching? I personally think that he's got to lay out a year and kind of clean things up, because he just kind of seemed like, you know, I don't have to listen to the chancellor or the president. I'm going to kind of do my own things. I know he's a little bit of a loose cannon, but there was a number of notable things that you and I had talked about on the show last week where it seemed like he was a little bit out of control.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's what you get with Mike Leach. Is he's a little quirky, he's a little wacky, and, you know, is it going to hurt him in terms of his next job? Yeah, I think so. When there was the whole contract negotiation going a year ago, I mean, that was a complete mess. I think Texas Tech, if they had their real choice, I think they probably would have said, let's get somebody else, because he's just a problem to deal with. But on the flip side of that, you've got a coach that gets results, and a coach that's gotten more results at a school in Texas Tech, and I think you'd hate to lose that type of momentum. I think that's what kind of they were thinking maybe a year ago. But Leach might have to come in and maybe as an offensive coordinator again. I'm not sure who's going to go out there, who's going to give him a big deal, a deal that he wants at a major university. So I don't know what happens with Mike Leach. He's an interesting case, and I don't think there's any file that you can put Mike Leach along with maybe some of the other coaches that are out of work. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. He can coach football, though. He can coach offense like no other coach that's out there. So if there's a team that is in desperate need of a guy who can move the ball up and down the field, he might be the guy.
Well, I think Texas Tech, personally, they did land on their feet. I know that with the hiring of Tommy Tuberville, he certainly is going to be facing a little bit of some turbulent times. I mean, it's not going to be a bed of roses going in there to Lubbock, Texas. But I don't know. I mean, you're not an SEC guy, but I thought he did a pretty decent job at Auburn and even at Mississippi.
Yeah, he had an SEC title. There was, I believe it was a 2004 team that went undefeated but left out of the national championship. Yeah, so Tommy Tuberville, he can coach football. There's no doubt about it. And like you mentioned, coming from the SEC, I think you've seen pretty much everything if you've coached in the SEC. And the Big 12, you know, he's going to have his work cut out for him, though, certainly in that southern part of the Big 12, having to compete with Oklahoma and Texas. And Oklahoma State seems to have some momentum here. And even when you talk about Baylor and Art Briles, and if they have a healthy Robert Griffin down there at quarterback, I mean, there's a lot of good football being played in that half of the division. So it'll be interesting to see what Tommy Tuberville can do. He went out and he's put together a pretty good staff. But certainly football in the SEC is different than football in the Big 12. And when you think of that southern division and you think about Texas Tech, I think the thing that they're known for is offense. Well, now you have a defensive coach that comes in. Do they completely lose all that momentum that they had going on the offensive side of the ball? Can they be as strong on the defensive side under Tuberville as they were on the offensive side under Leach? So these are all things that I can't wait for the college football season of 2010 to start.
A lot of question marks. Certainly the Red Raiders, they climbed to number 21 in the final AP poll and waved goodbye to Leach. But really, as you had just said, Jason, that it's just kind of wait and see to see if Tuberville will be able to maximize the talent. And we'll just, you know, and that, a lot of that will play into the new coordinators that he's going to be introducing and so on. So as we look ahead, I know you're already excited for the 2010 season. We just had Steve Habel on, and he was talking about, he actually gave a lot of praise to the North Division and Nebraska, and that they will be at the forefront.
Well, if Nebraska can keep the momentum going that they have on the defensive side of the ball, I think they're going to be a contender. Now, you got to get something going on the offensive side, and Sean Watson was able to put together a game plan for that Holiday Bowl against Arizona, that if you can do that week in, week out against the Big 12 opponents and some of your non-conference opponents, I think you'll be right in the thick of things. So I think when you talk about momentum, and there might not be a bigger factor in all of sports than momentum. And right now, Nebraska has it. They came out with some big wins last year, this past season. They had a couple close games against some very, very capable schools like Virginia Tech. And hopefully those games where they are close and you come out on the losing end, maybe this year, hopefully this year, they're able to win those games, because that's something that winning teams do. When you have those fourth quarter games, great teams know how to finish. They know how to win. And that's something that Nebraska lacked in the beginning of the year, and they lacked last year as well. So you hope that they can build on this the great performance overall on offense and defense in that Holiday Bowl, and they can come out strong in the 2010 season. But I think when you look at who will be the favorite in the North, certainly it will be Nebraska.
Okay, Zach Lee, Cody Green, who will be that starter?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. If Zach comes out and he plays like he did in the Holiday Bowl, I would probably say that Zach would be. But you also have a young gun in Cody Green, who's got all the potential in the world. This will be he'll have another year under his belt in the system. And I think when you look at who's got the greater upside, without a doubt, it's Cody Green. And I think if he can gain some of that ground that Zach Lee has on him in spring football, in winter conditioning, I do think that probably Bo Pelini would not hesitate to go with the young guy over Zach Lee. I think there might be a ceiling on what Zach can do. And with Cody, it's just the sky is the limit. And this kid, in the limited time that I've seen him play, he's a stud, and he's got an arm. He can make all the throws on the field. So it's going to be a great spring football. There's going to be a lot of competition, but all eyes certainly will be on the quarterback job.
Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We'd want to direct you to our radio website. That's eradiosports.com. Also go to jasonpeter.com. Lots of good stuff on there. And, of course, his Cornhuskers, I think, are truly capable of ending the South Division of their six-year run of conference champions. What about Missouri, Kansas State, Kansas? I mean, how do you think this is all going to turn out? I'm kind of curious to see how Turner Gill does at KU.
Yeah, well, if he can back up that $2 million they gave him, I think Kansas fans are going to be thrilled with what Turner can do. This is not Buffalo anymore. I mean, this is the Big 12, and he's got coaching experience in the Big 12. He's got playing experience, obviously, in the Big 8. But Turner, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on him, and it's a similar situation, I think, that Tuberville is in, where you're following the guy who had tremendous success at that school, and you're following the guy who gave that school success like they had never seen before. So for Turner, he's going to have his hands full. I do think that he's going to motivate those kids. That's the thing that Turner's going to do great, is he's going to have relationships with these kids, and they're going to love to play for him. He's a young guy. He's energetic. He knows kind of what's happening in these kids' lives today. And I think that's a big thing when you talk about these coaches out there that have tremendous amounts of success. So whether it happens this year or next year or even the year after, I do think that Turner will be successful at Kansas. Kansas State with Bill Snyder, I think what he did this year, basically the Big 12 North coming down to that final game against Nebraska, nobody expected them to do that. Now, it was kind of an all-or-nothing type deal, and they ended up home for the holidays. But I think that it's something to build on for Kansas State. Gary Pinkel at Missouri, they had a horrible year, and they capped a horrible year with a horrible loss to, I believe, Navy. And they got crushed in the bowl game. So it'll be interesting to see what Gary Pinkel can do, because it was just 2 years ago that this was one of the hottest names in college football. I mean, they wanted him for the Washington job. There were other jobs that were available that Gary Pinkel's name was being thrown thrown into the mix. So it will be interesting to see how Missouri bounces back from this down year.
You hit on Missouri, Kansas State. Kansas, I will say, as far as with Turner Gill coming on board, he certainly inherits a very favorable schedule. He has no games against Texas, Oklahoma, or Texas Tech. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. But what about our boy at Colorado, Dan the Man Hotkins? He's got to get it together, doesn't he?
Yeah, how in the world he kept his job. And, you know, I think it just clearly comes down to money. And when you look at some of the schools in the Big 12, Colorado, even though a lot of people see them still as this big kind of elite, not elite in terms of the success they've had, but just I think traditionally, you know, they won a championship in the early 90s, and I think people think of them still as a sleeping giant, so to say. And, you know, the truth is they don't have the big boosters, I think, that are willing to pay a million or $2 million or $3 million buyout. And I think that's ultimately why Dan Hawkins has kept his job, is that Colorado doesn't have anybody that is so, I think, desperate for a successful football team that they're willing to open up their checkbook and get rid of this guy to get somebody else in. But this will be it for him. If he doesn't get them, I think, 8 or 9 wins, I think he's done. They're not going to owe him any money, I believe. They'll figure out something, but I think this is probably it for him.
Okay, we hit on the North. We got to hit on the South just quickly. We've only got about a minute or two, but how about Colt McCoy? He certainly has recovered quickly. Steve Habel and I were just talking. Of course, Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated. He pops the question. Now, I have to ask you as a guy, did you think that was corny that he did it there at Memorial Stadium?
It's not my style, but everybody's different, and I guess his knee. There was nothing wrong with his knee. He was able to get down on a knee. So good for Colt. You know, he's found somebody that he can spend the rest of his life with. Certainly when you look at that national championship game, it was disappointing that Texas wasn't able to come at them, I think, with everybody on board. And, you know, I was also a little disappointed that Colt didn't go out there and at least try to play. You know, it's hard. I'm not a quarterback, but I can tell you as a defensive lineman, I would have went out there. I would have tried to play. I mean, this is it. This is your senior year. This is a national championship. And you kept hearing the announcers talk about his pro career. I've never been one of the guys that has envisioned Colt McCoy as a first-round draft pick. So he, to me, is your college quarterback, and I would have loved to have seen him come out and at least give it a go after he got dinged up.
Well, I know Longhorn fans would, but, you know, in our first segment, Steve Habel, he kind of had an inside track, and he was saying that he was actually, he's very, you know, very strong in his faith, but that he was really crying out loud, just like, why is this happening to me? His arm was truly like a noodle, and that he was not able to do that. So who knows? I mean, whatever happened, unfortunately, he was not able to play, but we'll have to keep our eye on him. Steve Habel said that perhaps he could be projected as a second-round draft choice and pick.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I envision him more as maybe a third round at best. I think more fourth or fifth. To me, I still envision the little skinny kid that it was 2 years ago. It seemed like every other game they were taking him off on a stretcher. And, you know, the shot that he took in that national championship game, those are shots that he's going to be taking every single week. I mean, in practice, those are the shots that he's going to take. The NFL is a physical, physical game. And certainly there are some freak injuries, and there's sometimes that it doesn't look like it hurts, some of the shots that you take, but they get you right in the right spot. And maybe that was the case with this injury that he had against Alabama, but he's gonna be a guy that a lot of people are curious to see how he does in the NFL.
Outstanding. Jason, listen, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you got to hustle off and go play some hockey this afternoon, so have a good time.
Thank you.
That, of course, was Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment. We'll be right back after this.